Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the online worship service for the Canyon View Church of Christ. Well, today is a special day. It's the Lord's Day. It's a special day for us every single week, right? But today is Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter, and we look forward to this day all year as just simply a greater and more focused view of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm thinking today about where I was 1 year ago. My wife Karen and I were sitting on the edge of our hill here in Claremont, looking south, beautiful view over the canyon. Sitting just she and I in chairs. We are singing at the top of our lungs to Balboa Avenue and our friends that live around the canyon. And we ate the Lord's Supper together, and we listened and read God's Word together. We were in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, remembering how important it was and is that Jesus rose from the dead. And but now we can be together, and I'm grateful, so grateful for that. We have been studying God's will for the last few weeks, and we've learned some things, that God wants us to know about the importance of God's will, and especially our living out His God's will, just like His Son Jesus did. But today we're going to finish the study, and we're going to look at it in a very needed and a very particular way. We're going to look at God's will for Jesus, and we are going to see that it was God's will to crush him. In Isaiah 53, you just heard those words yourself. It was God's will to crush him and to make him suffer. But the great news, the beautiful news that we get out of that is the end of the story, because we know what it is. If it was God's will to crush him and make him suffer for our salvation, it was also God's will, God's plan, not to leave him in the grave, not to abandon him from the grave. So what makes the resurrection of Jesus so sweet? It has to be more than bunnies and eggs and things like that. And I love all of that, and I know you do too, but there has to be something more. What makes resurrection so sweet and so glorious? Well, think about this. If we didn't know the backstory about how all this came about, if we didn't have the words of Jesus Christ recorded for us when he talked about this unique and needed time, if we didn't know God's plan and God's will from the very beginning for his son Jesus, and if there was no resurrection from the dead that followed the horrible scene of the death of the Son of God on the cross, then we would have very different emotions today, now wouldn't we? The life story of Jesus began before he was even born, and it was really a story that began in controversy, the controversy of Mary's pregnancy by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph's very understandable desire to break off their engagement with each other, because he didn't understand what a scandal it was for their family and for their community. I mean, it was, we have to put it in terms that we can understand, right? Yet God convinced Joseph and God convinced Mary that his will was at work. And when they realized it was God's will, they went through with it, and they knew God would bless them, but they also knew they would be blessing the world to come. Now, as Jesus grew up, Jesus grew in his awareness of who he was. As he grew up, his awareness of God's will was growing too, right? At 12 years old, he was aware that it was God's will for him to be in his father's house, the temple, and to be about his father's business, whatever mission God had for him. And all Mary could do when she saw these things and heard these things and experienced these things about her son, Jesus, all Mary could do was just store it up, just treasure it up in her heart. Maybe by and by she would understand it as it unfolded in her life. And that's what happened. She treasured all this up in her heart that it was God's will for her son. And so she knew she had to go through whatever God wanted her to go through, but that Jesus would have to go through whatever his heavenly Father knew he had to go through. At about 30 years old, when Jesus began his ministry, he was baptized by his relative, John the Baptist. And he received God's personal confirmation about who he is, who is his Father, and who he is to the Father in heaven. And it was important, if Jesus was going to go through all of this for our benefit, our salvation, he had to know who his Father was, how his Father felt about him, and who he was as the man Jesus at around 30 years old. Listen to what he heard and what he experienced. Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. Heaven was open. This is at his baptism. Heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus needed to hear his Father's voice. Jesus needed to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus needed to know how his Father saw him at the very beginning of the long road to Calvary 3 years later. From this point, from his baptism and this wonderful scene we just read about, he went into the desert to have his wilderness experience, where he was going to be tempted and he was going to be tried. And in this wilderness experience that he had for 40 days, Jesus suffered, the Bible tells us. He suffered. And he learned about his enemy, who is Satan, and how to defeat him. And he wants us to know, it's the same way that we will get through having times just like that. He overcame by God's word and a knowledge of God's will for him. And he was able to put up with the temptations and the trials and the suffering that Satan was at this point starting to heap upon him. And so Jesus understood something. And this is what the Hebrew writer knew about Jesus. And he is recounting in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, the words of Jesus. Obviously, he knew it by inspiration. Jesus said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O Lord.'" If God wasn't pleased with those animal sacrifices, with the sacrifices and offerings that God really didn't desire, Jesus would be the one that God did desire. Jesus was the sacrifice, the great once for all sacrifice that we are blessed by to this day. Then in Jesus's ministry, when his ministry really started to get going, multiple times Jesus made God's will for himself clear to his disciples, but they didn't want to hear it. They couldn't bear to think that horrible time would happen to their master, to their friend, Jesus. And they couldn't bear it. They had to know, though, that it was God's will to crush him and to make him suffer. So Jesus said words like this Jesus said, Matthew 28 or 20, verses 18 through 19, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. They needed to hear that, even if they didn't want to hear it, and they didn't really grasp the end of that, where the glory really was going to be in being raised from the dead. So Jesus told them the truth about how it was all going to go down and how it would all end in a glorious way. So because Jesus understood it, he talked about it, he preached about it, and he made sure, he purposefully and with intention, he accomplished God's will of providing the way for God's will for us to happen, which is the salvation of our souls. That is God's will for us. But it was God's will that Jesus go through the pain and suffering on the cross to give us this wonderful gift. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. He wanted Timothy to know that those Christians there in Ephesus and Christians all over that area, they needed to understand the importance of what Jesus did. And he wrote this, 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. God, our Savior, wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Jesus' accomplishing God's will on the cross was for our salvation. And it's there he purchased that salvation for us. So I want you to just hear how it happened. Let's turn to Mark. And I want you to follow along with me. Listen to me read. I hope you maybe have a Bible in your lap and you can follow along with the reading. And I want to read a portion of scripture of how Jesus purchased our salvation in Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 16. Mark 15, starting in verse 16. Listen to the word of God. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff, and they spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each one would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. When the written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews," they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling for Elijah. One man ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down from the cross, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. That's how our salvation was purchased. Everything that Jesus went through, being crushed by God, made to suffer by God's will, all of that horrible, horrible event was for us, to bless us, to help us, and to save us. That's why Jesus went through it. And it's God's will that we accept this truth and be saved by it. God's will was for Jesus to die. God's will for us is for us to be saved by the death of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the best part of this? Well, the chance for eternal life, correct. However, the best part of this tragedy of the death of the Son of God in this world is the rest of the story, a beautiful part of the story. It was God's will for him to be crushed for us and make him suffer for us. But it was also God's will and God's plan then to raise him from the dead for us, for our faith, for us to believe in who Jesus was and what he did and why. So Mark continues in this narrative about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Mark 15 and verse 40. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus's body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth and took it down from wrapped it in linen and placed it in a tomb cut out of a rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus's body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid them. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. That's the best part of this great tragic time in Jesus's life. where he purchased our salvation by living out to the death and then the resurrection of God's will for himself. It was God's will that all this happened. And so one of the things that we need to learn about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and what it does for us is that this was what was preached. This is what they took out and they started taking out to the whole world when Jesus told his disciples to go out and preach this gospel, this good news that Jesus died for them. He was buried and resurrected for them for their eternal life, for their forgiveness of sins. And so one more reading for you. Acts chapter 2. I want you to know that Jesus is in his ministry, in his work, in his ministry, when he performed miracles and he performed the signs that proved who he was, it was from God. It was God working through Jesus. And Peter, by inspiration, preaching on the day of Pentecost to people that took part in the crucifixion of Jesus, and he wanted to convince them that Jesus was who he was, and it was the resurrection that proved everything about Jesus, that everything was true about Jesus. Acts chapter 2. And verse 23. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. It says about Jesus, this man was handed, I'll start in verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Now, how beautiful is that? It goes on. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Those beautiful prophetic words came true in the resurrection of Jesus after God crushed him and made him suffer, but it was God's will not to abandon him to the grave. So see how God is at work, even in the resurrection, even through the miracles of Jesus before Jesus even died. The resurrection of Jesus is God's greatest miracle of them all for us, all for our benefit. God planned it. It says it was his set purpose. What does that mean? That means it was God's will, and there was no way in the world that God was going to abandon his son to the grave. So there's no way that God and his risen son will ever abandon us to the grave if we belong to his son. If we believe that Jesus is the one that lived and died on the cross and was buried in that tomb and was raised on the third day and rose for our salvation. If we are those people that have full faith in what Jesus did and what God did, and we confess our sins and we are immersed for the forgiveness of our sins and filled with the Spirit of God, God will not abandon us to the grave. That's the greatest part of the greatest message this world has ever known. It's for our salvation. So what does that look like? What does that look like? the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead will arise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. It's all about our resurrection, folks. That's the resurrection we look for now. Jesus, the risen one, coming back for us. And if we belong to Christ, we'll be able to, this beautiful scene will be our experience. So what should our response be? I love what David said. I can't think of any better way than that we can respond. We should respond with glad hearts, with rejoicing tongues, and with hopeful lives. So folks, let us rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because our resurrection is God's will as well. May God bless you.